Leslie, thanks very much for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure, Aaron.
We're talking about last week's acreage report released by the USDA, and what were the immediate effects of that on commodity prices?
Well, I think the traders were a little surprised at the amount of corn acres that the USDA was reporting as being planted. I think they were looking for a fall off into the 95.5 million range, and USDA came in with 97.4 million acres. So that was a little bit of a surprise to the commodity traders. And the markets have kind of reacted accordingly. They're trading down on the new crop because they're concerned about what could happen with this corn crop being as big as it could be.
And in terms of the weather, obviously we've seen a lot of wet weather up in the upper Midwest in general. How much was that factored into what happened last Friday as well and how it's been trading down?
One of the things I noticed or I've seen over the years, after 4th of July, the commodity floor traders, you know, they're pretty well trapped in Chicago in the concrete. But over the 4th of July, they have a tendency to migrate out. Some of them go back to farms in southern Illinois or into southern Wisconsin. But they go out and they have a chance to see the crop a little bit. And traditionally, after the 4th of July, they usually see that the crop looks better. So they trade the markets down. And the markets are down somewhat this morning. So that tells me that they're seeing crops that they think look halfway decent. I know they're short in some areas, but I think Illinois at large has been good. We've had it very lucky here in our area, where people were able to get some crops planted ahead of those people in the very northern part of the state.
I was going to ask, that obviously some of the fields have some wet spots that might be visible to some people driving on the road, but overall, you've heard producers basically have been able to get most of their acres planted, if not all?
Yes, I think most people got their corn in. There was a little bit of concern because maybe a few acres that got flooded, they would want to replant, but they could not get the replanting done. So we may have what we call ghost bean acres. We may have a few people putting in some beans that aren't covered by insurance on those acres just to potentially get a crop if the frost is late enough, but then also to kind of keep weeds under control and, you know, keep the field in good condition for planting next year. So most of the corn got in. I think the beans, everybody would have liked to have had everything planted sooner than they got it done, but the corn, most of it got planted at a reasonable time. Beans, you know, they are much later than people would like, and they certainly aren't very big, but hopefully with some warm weather and sunshine, we'll see some growth in the beans.
Did producers plant more shorter maturity corn and beans this year, or was it a lot of the normal amount of length of maturity?
They really didn't switch up maturities on corn, which is good because the agronomists, I know, were very concerned about having to switch maturities. There was a limited amount of seed corn available, and so they really did not want people swapping out on their corn. Interestingly enough, on soybeans, Pella Peterson, who was with the Extension Service a few years ago, some of his research, he showed that people were better off staying with full-season beans, even if they were planting late, and then planting very high populations, because what that would do is it would force the beans to grow taller, and it was easier to get more of the bean into the combine that way. Also, it was good for weed control. So people do not swap for shorter season beans like they used to do.
Okay. We talked a little bit before this interview here about what the long-term impacts of maybe some of this trading down may be on insurance, on coverage, that sort of thing. Can you explain that a little bit in terms of what that could mean next year?
Yes. One of the things that the traders are looking at right now is the possibility that we could have carryover in the corn crop like we had in 2004, 2005, which at those times we were looking at corn in the $4 to $5 range. People have a floor on their corn crop for 2013 with their crop insurance. Crop insurance supports corn at $5.65 a bushel. And that's a good floor. That will cover the costs of production and return profit for most producers. Now we have a situation where just looking at what December is trading at today, it's trading below $5. It's at $4.96 when we checked a few minutes ago. And at that price level, you very closely squeeze some of the high cost producers out. They can't produce corn for that cost and have money left over to live on and make their payments. So that could be a concern if this market works its way down. You know, February is when we lock in our price for the 2014 crop insurance. And if we have a lot of corn that we produce, we'll have lower prices in February, much lower than what we're seeing right now, potentially.
All right. Another concern last year with the different weather cycle we had, the drought, was some of the pasture ground really dried up. It was hard for a lot of farmers to get some good hay. Obviously, the wet weather kept people probably out of there for the first part of this year, but it sounds like in the past month or so, a lot of producers were able to get in there and get that hay cut and put up.
Yes, I think we've had a much better hay year than we've had in the past 2 years. Some of the producers have commented that they have as much forage right now as they did for all of 2012 and 2011. So we're starting off much better. The question is, what happens from here? We have a situation, Elwin Taylor's talked about 1947 as being the analog year. And if you look at July and August in 1947, we had only about an inch and a half of rain for both of those months in southeast Iowa. By the same token, if you look at 1993, which was another wet year, we had 12 inches of rain for July and August. So the question is, what happens to the weather from here on out? That can affect what we get for a second and third cutting of hay, but also it can have an impact on the corn market. So if it suddenly turns off very dry, then we can't change the planted acres, but USDA may change its projections on what corn will yield, and we may see a little bit more support in this corn market. But unless we have a significant lack of rainfall in July and August, I think that we will have continued downward pressure on grain prices.
Is there anything else you'd like to add today about what's going on out in the fields right now or the markets?
I just encourage producers to keep an eye on the markets. If there's a bounce up in prices, you know, maybe China comes in and buys some corn or wheat, or we have some news that kicks the markets up, keep your eyes open for that and do some forward pricing. I also remind them to keep track of what their crop insurance floor is at so they don't lock in prices, you know, too far below that floor, because they can get hurt that way. Also, you know, it's a good time of year just to keep track of where those wet areas are, those stressed areas are, and make a note of it so you can maybe, you know, you might want to tile some of those areas going forward or do something else, you know, from a management practice just to up your production for next year. If we have lower grain prices, people are going to need to manage their crops to their best ability in order to be able to make a good income.
All right. Well, Leslie, thanks a lot for being here with us today and talking with us about this.
My pleasure.